This afternoon we're going to read Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Last time we thought about the greater righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the people that their righteousness had to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And now he comes to identify and explain what this greater righteousness was and how it works out in practice. So he has set forth the theory. Your righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And now he puts the theory into practice. This is very important and this is very practical, because now the Lord gets into human nature and he analyzes human nature. And he opens up our own hearts and our souls. He allows us to see ourselves. The Lord now goes through some of the commandments, and he shows us how we break these commandments and why we need God's forgiveness. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they prided themselves in their outward keeping of the law. They seemed to be very pious, they seemed to be very religious, they seemed to be very respectable. But yet, they were papering over the inner sins that existed in their hearts and souls, which too rendered them guilty before God. And this is something we all need to understand. Sin is not merely what we do, sin is what we are. Indeed, what we do is the outworking of what we are. And you may count yourself religious, and you may count yourself honourable, and you may know your Bible, and you may seek to live a respectable life, and all those things are very good and very grand. But sin exists in our hearts. Sin is what we are, and your outward veneer of morality may just simply paper over an inner corruption. And we all need to own up to the fact of our sinfulness. The sin is the breaking of God's law, and the breaking of God's law is not just about living a disreputable lifestyle. Breaking the God's law is about our attitudes, it's about our hearts, it's about our soul, it's about our spirits, it's about our thoughts as well as our words. And the first commandment the Lord comes to deal with here is the commandment, Thou shalt not kill. And this is the sixth commandment, because the Lord says in verse 21, Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And there may be some who will say, I have never broken that commandment, I have never killed, I have always thought to be kind to other people, considerate to other people. Then the Lord shows us that it is possible to break this commandment by an inner spirit, an attitude of heart, a cruel attitude towards other people, an attitude that betrays what we really are within. If all of our thoughts were presented for everyone to read, all the thoughts we've thought about others, nasty thoughts, cruel thoughts, thoughts we wouldn't dare put into words, thoughts that we are ashamed of, if everyone else was to know about these thoughts, we would be horrified in the extreme. And yet this is how God sees us. And this renders us sinners. And this enables us to see how much we need a Saviour. You see, what the Lord is teaching here is that it's not just about keeping the law outwardly that God is looking for. He's looking for a spirit. He's looking for an attitude. Let me use an illustration. We are told that virtually every speeding ticket that is issued can be found to be with error in the court of law. If that ticket and the circumstances surrounding the issue of it are flawed legally, the motorist can get off if he is willing to pay a considerable sum of money to a very clever lawyer. That motorist will be declared innocent at the court of law, but he has still broken the law. He has still broken the spirit of the law. Even the very fact that he is looking for some loophole to escape punishment for a crime he has committed, that shows him to be a guilty person. Indeed, that magnifies his guilt, because he is unwilling to own up to his guilt. And this is what the Lord is talking about here, except what he is speaking about is of greater magnitude than speeding. He's talking about anger, cruelty in our hearts. He's talking about breaking the commandment, Thou shalt not kill. And this is really important. He's showing us how we should deal with our anger, because anger is the beginning of murder. He's teaching us how we should curb our angry spirit. Anger is a problem. Some people are more prone to it than others. And this is what the Lord is talking about here. He takes murder, he takes killing, this grave sin. And he says, if you've ever been angry in your spirits, he said you have actually broken the spirit of the sixth commandment. And who hasn't been angry? This is a most humbling thing. First of all, let's look at the recognition of this sin. If we are angry with a person in a cruel, vindictive way, and I want to use those phrases advisedly, because we can be justly angry with the actions that a person has committed, and we may feel a sense of righteousness because that person has done things that are clearly wrong. That's different from feeling a bitter sense of anger towards an individual, an anger that just can't bear the sight of that person. This is what the Lord is talking about. You see, anger is wrong, and we must recognize that it is wrong because it contravenes a very important principle that human life is sacred. Man is made in the image of God, and that's a most important fact that we all need to be aware of. It doesn't matter what a person's racial background is, that person is made in the image of God. I despise the very term racism, because the very term racism implies that there are different races in the world. The reality is there is but one race, one human race, and it doesn't matter what language we speak, what colour our skin is, what culture we come from, we are one humanity. Bible is the greatest manual for teaching that we are one flesh. And therefore, to be angry with a person on account of their ethnic background is such a grave sin. Man has a sacred life. Man's life is sacred from the moment of conception. This is why abortion is so wrong. This is why it is wrong to have life removed while that life is in the womb, because that life is sacred. Likewise, euthanasia is wrong. The whole idea that somebody may have the right to choose to have their life removed, the very fact that the law will help them to do that, is totally wrong. And in this liberal age, life is being undermined because the world in which we live doesn't want to accept that there is a God that has made man in his image. And whenever we are angry with another human being, feeling cruel thoughts, we are violating this principle that human life is sacred. This is why it is so wrong. We need to recognize this sin. You know, the Lord examines our hearts. He examines our words. He talks about how anger within the heart can manifests itself with words that are very explosive. For example, he says, a person who is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. That's anger within the heart. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca. Now the word Raca, it means literally blockhead. You're a fool, he said. If someone says to his brother, you're a fool, and uses unkind words to talk about him and to him, that person will be in danger of the council. And whosoever will go that bit further and say, you're a total fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. The power of the tongue, the dynamic of the tongue has the potential for so much good. We can use words of healing, words of forgiveness, words of love, but we can also use cruel words. And in Proverbs 18:21, we read, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death is in the power of the tongue. We should be so careful about what we say about others and to others, because human life is sacred. And we must look at all men and women around us, and we must clearly see the sacredness of life. And when we treat others in a cruel way, even talk about them in a cruel way, we're violating this principle. And so we need to recognize the sin of anger. But let's also look at the retribution for the sin of anger. Christ here talks about our accountability. He uses words like judgment, the council, and hellfire. And what he is saying is this: we are accountable to God. Every idle word that we speak, God hears every one of them, and he is our judge. Every cruel thought we have towards another, God reads those thoughts so clearly. And that's a very serious thing. And I want you just to analyse your life and think about your life as God would see you. How does the judge see you? And if you find yourself to be a guilty person being exposed to his law today, that teaches you that you are a sinner and you need to be forgiven. Maybe there's anger in your heart against a member of your family. You've held that for many, many years. Anger against somebody you've worked with. Anger against somebody that has wronged you and it has consumed you, it's eaten you up. And yes, you can feel that sense of injustice, and you can be angry at the sense of injustice. There's a righteousness in your anger, but whenever that anger is filled with a sense of personal hate and dislike for the individual, that is where it destroys you, and that is where it exposes the corruption of your nature. But I also want you to think about the reconciliation here, because this is so important. The Lord, He teaches us that we need to be reconciled with those whom we feel angry with. And He says, don't come to the altar. In today's terminology, don't come to the place of prayer. Don't come to church to worship God when you're holding spite in your heart against another. He said, go away and be reconciled and then get right with God. And what He is teaching here is the great doctrine of repentance. It is so important. If your life is ruined and it's harmed because of bitterness and grudges that you're holding against someone else, you need to put matters right. Now, it may be that you might make a decision, I'm going to meet this person and sort this problem out. That person may not want the problem sorted out. You have absolved yourself, but at least you have gone the second mile to try and resolve those difficulties, and your conscience is clean in the sight of God. But it's important to put things right with others. Don't allow sin to come between yourself and your relationships with other people. Don't get eaten up with bitterness. You see, the Lord is teaching us here is that the gospel transforms our relationships with men and women around us, with family members, with work colleagues, with people in our community, people in our society. You see, murder is committed because, first of all, someone has an anger. The anger becomes words. Things get out of hand, out of control, and murder is committed. And we don't want to go down that road. We don't want to even be guilty of breaking the law without ever in our lives going to carry out the logical extent of our thoughts. We don't want to entertain those thoughts to begin with. They are dangerous and they are destructive. But ultimately, where is our sin dealt with? We need forgiveness with God. And the Lord is teaching this here. Yes, we need to be reconciled with those whom we have difficulties with, but ultimately we need reconciliation with God. And Jesus Christ on the cross, He is the ultimate example, because as He hung there, impaled to that cross, for crimes He did not commit, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What an example that is of love, of forgiveness, of grace. If this were to be practiced in every home and every family and every community, we would not have the problems in the world that we have. And so please listen to the Word of God today. Get a sense of the full extent of it, how it analyzes our thoughts. And perhaps your sin has been exposed, your anger has been exposed, your need of Christ has been exposed, you've realized today that you're a sinner. Well, you come to God and find forgiveness with Him, and I tell you, that will transform your relationships with everyone around you. I thank you so much for listening.